Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here are our assignments over the weekend. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to 1, start your day by listening to a recording from day 20, 2, practice your behavior change, and 3, record what you notice at the end of the day. Then on Saturday, do your daily practice whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to and I don't feel like it. Sunday, do your daily practice being on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true about you. Record and listen. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jan.
Hello, Jan.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, I'm catching up, and where I am with it, my behavior change. Backing up a minute. What I saw, the main thing, is that there is a belief that I should be able to take care of any physical problems that come up. Meaning, I don't need any help. It's like this fierce independence, and you should be able to figure this out and take care of it. It's been great because the body just informs, and I've had a situation, just a stiffness, and it's not getting better, and a little painful. And it just became really clear. The body's letting me know it needs more attention in this somehow, and that perhaps I could get some help in what would take care of it. So it's bringing presence. There's sort of a number one thing in the behavior change. Bringing presence to the body.
Bringing presence. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's the body calling for presence. That's how it felt, which I really appreciate. And then also the realization that, just to look, okay, this is going on. Is there some other source that could be helpful with this? Maybe this isn't something you can take care of on your own.
It's the on your own, right? The on your own has a definition that doesn't need to be there, right? Because on your own, if you called in 15 or 20 experts to assist you, you would still be the one taking care of the body.
Yes, and that's where it gets a little...
Well, it's just that you wouldn't be listening to a voice in your head that is essentially saying, you don't need anyone else, you have me.
Yes, right.
Right? And so you should be able to do this without anybody, and then in a quieter voice that you're not meant to hear, anybody other than me. You're really not on your own, right? You're in the scariest place we can be in, which is isolated with something that has no interest in your well-being.
Yes, and I'm so grateful that it's come, I'm so grateful to see it in this particular situation, because I have seen it in other situations. That fierce independence, which is, like you pointed to, being solely with ego.
Yeah.
Ego-centered,
yeah.
Conditioning, self-hate. And I've seen it in other areas. I hadn't seen it here. So it's just expanding, gratefully, expanding how that works, that it can touch every area.
Yes. Wants to be your only relationship.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll let you believe, not just you, obviously, Jan, we're talking about all of us, will let us believe, oh, no, my most important relationships are, you know, with my partner, with my children, with my parents, with my, only on ego's terms. And that's what we're going up against all the time.
Yes, we certainly are. And I just have to say, I know I've said it before in different circumstances, but just that, you know, the body as a vehicle for awakening, it just feels like this is literally what's going on for me right now, because it's like my body's talking. I can't think of better ways to say it, but it's like the body is talking to me, and in a way that is, you need to be here, you need to be here, you need to be here. And what could be more wonderful than that? You know, even
well,
if it's pain, you know.
Yes, and the thing that I think is important to keep in mind about this is that the body is always talking to us. You have practiced enough to be able to hear it.
Yeah, and when I don't
listen—that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and,
when you don't
and I
listen.
When I don't listen, when I'm not present, and I don't hear it, it has a wonderful way of reminding me.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
in this situation.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, and it's so perfect, isn't it? Because ego wants us to believe that it's the be all end all for us in our lives. And the body, you know, has that ace in the hole, which is, you're not going anywhere without me. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't pull rank. It doesn't. You know, it lets us get by with a lot of ignorance before it finally says, okay, right? And again, to me, the important thing to see about this is you've practiced enough to listen to it while there are still possibilities in the relationship.
Can you say a little bit more about what you mean? What more in the possibilities? There may be more in the possibilities.
Well, that very often people will get talked into that process that you describe, where they're listening to a voice in the head that says, it's not that bad. You can handle it. It's okay. It's fine. You should don't be a wimp. You need to be able to. You can do it until a line is crossed, and the body cannot come back from whatever ego has talked the person into doing or not doing with the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
There is that line. You know, there is that line, and it's then we hear, why did you wait so long? Why didn't you do something sooner? So it's to me, it's like the Huber cure, right? So if you get the slightest symptom of anything, go to bed, and look at what's going on with me from a prone position, a relaxed prone position where the body has all of the support that we can give it for letting us know what it needs and to take care of it while it's not a big issue. But what culturally we are conditioned to do is push and push and push. The right person thing to do is push and push and push. And so if you have a sinus infection or bronchitis, you still take something over the counter and go to work, right? That's mm-hmm. the right person thing to do. But in awareness practice, we know the, in quotes, right thing to do is go to bed.
Yeah.
And let the body talk to you in quiet.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that description, because it's basic. And what I'm hearing and what you're saying is the most subtle, indications need to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
At all times.
Yeah. And that's what we're training for. To be more subtle and more subtle and more present.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jan.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Jen. I've never thought of awareness practice that way, Sherry, but it is, isn't it, that in expanding the awareness, what we're also doing is honing our receptivity to different nuances, gross ones and really, really mm-hmm. subtle ones. And it yes. seems to me that ego is very loud because it needs to drown out the subtlety of the of life's cues, because intelligence
right.
is so wonderfully subtle.
Yes.
It's
yes.
contextual,
so,
right?
Yes, yes. And with the assignment, do it whether you want to or not, whether you feel like it or not, right? That's the whole point of that guidance, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I don't. That's what keeps us from being present to ourselves.
And that part about
that
practice
subtlety.
That you're, yeah, and the practice part that you're talking to is to recognize that that's just the noise, and that we're listening for something beyond the noise, and
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
we want to open to our ability and fact, our ability and honing the faculty of tuning into messages that are way beyond that regular refrain.
Yes. And the beyond is inward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, of course, why we sit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All of it is in pursuit of more subtle, more subtle, more present, more present.
Mm. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Gosh. Hey, Ashwini. Hey, Sherry. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area.
Hello, Anne.
Can you hear me? Oh.
Yeah, perfectly. What are you seeing?
Well, I am just so appreciating this focus, and I actually wanted to call in with, I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but with a success or a celebration. I've worked with, I had a car accident in about 25 years ago and have a shoulder thing that just has incessantly, well, I would say has become my teacher, really. And I went to physical therapy for years and then realized, you know what, if I want to heal this, I need to up my game and start going to yoga a lot more. And every time I would do headstand, it would feel like I would re-injure it on a subtle level, and it would get really sore, and I couldn't put weight on it. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I just wouldn't do headstand. And I was so grateful for practice, because I thought, you know what, that's not the answer. And I went to this amazing yoga teacher who started studying with Mr. Iyengar when he was 18 years old, and he would have me do headstand standing up. In other words, you know, when you're doing headstand, your head's on the ground, but he would have me do it and press into a shelf. So as if I was upside down, but I was standing up, so I didn't have a lot of weight on my shoulder. And I'd press my shoulders up, and I would just do this, you know, I just worked it and worked it and worked it. And the other day in yoga, we were doing headstand, and after class, this man, and men are typically much more stronger than women, came up to me and he said, you must be really strong because you can stay up in headstand way longer than I can. And I just thought, wow, you know, it has... To me, it has nothing to do with strength. It has to do with willingness and perseverance and what you're pointing at of, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, it's practice.
Right.
I've committed to it. I'm doing it. And so then my next big hurdle is Sherry.
Will you not lose your next big hurdle?
Oh, I'm not going to lose it. I'm sorry. I'm so excited.
Okay.
I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. You go ahead.
No, but it's what I saw when you said that is the, and Ashwini can help us with the language, but it's what we're seeking is in the karma. The answer that we're seeking is in the karma. Ashwini, how does that go?
Well, the answer is in the conversation, but it's directing us into what's not instead of what is.
There, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So that's that's it, right? So the whole conversation from conditioning. And this can be the experts who are there to help us,
right?
Right.
Right.
Is, well, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But the answer is in the conversation, which is about about the shoulder and what's going on with the shoulder, and that the shoulder hurts, that the shoulder is tight, and that the shoulder doesn't work, and that the, and so conventional wisdom is, well, then do less. But what you realized again, and I reinforce this for people because it's the secret sauce. You've been practicing long enough that you realize quitting is never the answer. It just isn't.
Right.
And so what this genius yoga teacher was able to do is show you how not to quit yet not to do the same thing that would hurt you. So how do you get past that hurdle, that first hurdle? How do you get past that hurdle, get to the other side? And there's always an answer. Always.
Wow. That's, and you know, years ago, you saying that, I haven't forgotten what I'm going to say, but I remember how painful it was to sit in meditation because of my shoulder. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd think, well, mainly it's hips and all that. And I would talk to you about it, and you said, well, just at some point lower your head, or you would give me a couple of things to do. But if I had quit, I would have gotten to the point where I would have had to quit sitting because it would have gotten too painful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
you would have to quit, Anne, because that sort of thing, you wouldn't have been able to be at a computer. You wouldn't have been able to travel.
Right.
You wouldn't have been able to, you would have become incapacitated.
Yeah, and so the question becomes, how can I do this without further harm to my shoulder, but in a way that supports it and strengthens it and, you know, like you said, not give up. So then my next challenge, which I'm still, you know, on the brink of and not being able to do, is full arm balance, which to me is like, you know, think about the scariest thing in the world you could do. I mean, some people can do it. It's like no big deal. You know, going for the full arm balance, oh, no problem. Boom. And for me, and the other one is there's one called a peacock pose where you're on your just on your forearms and you kick up upside down. So these are like ridiculously challenging for me. And I went to a really hard yoga class Friday. And I did full arm balance for like what felt to me like 30 seconds, which is a really long time in yoga. Maybe it was 15 seconds, but it's the first time I've ever done it on my own. And I was just like, oh my God, this is like amazing because I'm doing it in the middle of our fitness month. And I mean, somebody helped me up. I couldn't get up on my own.
And then the practice of restraint and religious observances was not coming out of the pose and screaming, Eureka, in the middle of the class.
No. He helped me up, and then he walked away, and he goes, don't come down. And I'm like, and I stayed up as long as I could. And, no, I came down, and I just stood there. Like, I was marveling. I went, I could do that because of practice. And I didn't mean yoga practice. I meant Zen practice. And because they so complement each other. And I'm just so grateful for the message constantly, don't give up, find a way to work with it. And, you know, as we age, we have to do more, not less. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just so wonderful not to believe the limitations that ego is constantly trying to put around us.
Yeah. Yes. To have your life be expanding every day, instead of getting smaller.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I might not ever be able to go up in the... Oh, okay, what?
I'll say it. Eureka.
Eureka, yeah. And I may never be able to do it on my own, but at least I'm not stopping, and the joy is in the trying. You know, the joy is in the practicing.
Well,
so.
And this is what we were talking about with Jan, right? So this is somebody helps you into the pose. Okay,
yeah.
You're still the one doing the pose.
Yeah.
You know, on our own. Taking responsibility for ourselves doesn't mean the same as isolation with ego. You know, we get all the help we can get. Only ego sees that as a problem.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I feel like it's a win for practice, and I'm just so grateful. So, and thank you, and I can't wait to see what our next focus is. But we're still on this one, so I'm still working on this one. Thank you very much to everybody.
And fortunately, Anne, we know we can continue to work on all of them, right? Life is spacious enough that they, yep. All right. Thank you, Anne.
Yes, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anne.
I don't think we have to tell her to go happy, do you?
I don't think so.
I think she got it.
Yes, and there's the demonstration of always paying attention, right, to finding out how to make it work rather than meeting an ideal standard that we are told
that
it should designed
to
never
make it,
could fail.
Yeah,
yes.
or
to make it not work.
Yeah. Oh, the ideal for ego. Because then it's, I told you so, and now you're even more convinced that you need to listen to me all the time, because look what happens when you don't.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fiendish. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura in San Diego.
Hey, Laura. What are you
saying? Oh my gosh, that was just, can I listen to that again? Oh, yes, I can.
Oh, yes, I can. Oh, it's recorded. Oh, yay.
Oh, that was just so beautiful. And I'm just so grateful for the wisdom of life giving us exactly what we need. And so what I'm seeing in this practice of, like, the resistance to slow down, and not slow down in movement, but to slow down enough to pay attention to take care of the body. And I've been blessed up until this, you know, well, I don't know. Okay. I'm ego is monitoring my words right now. I've never really had to slow down. And so I've gotten information lately. It's like, oh, things hurt, things aren't working. And so I'm having to slow down to pay attention to the subtle details of how, my body needs to be taken care of. And to me, it's that thing around, like when Anne was talking about yoga, like my heart calls for yoga, but ego does not like it for me. So I'm watching how I've kind of had this craving to do yoga for a really long time, and I've never listened to it. And it seems to me to be fitting perfectly with that idea of, you know, how you exercise is you run and you do all of these things, and that's the only way to take care of the body. And now my body's saying that doesn't work right now. So we're not going to give up, but how do we take care of the body now?
That's right. And the thing, I don't know if this is true for you, Laura, but I've always had one of those bodies too that can just do anything. And what I know about that is that it's a really easy way to be unconscious. That it's possible, right? So you can be out there running along with no awareness whatsoever of your body or what's going on around you. I mean, we could just run along completely lost in a conversation in the mind. Right? And so that, you know, that works really well for ego. That's kind of an idea.
Yeah.
And so to give that up for something that is going to position you to pay closer attention, that doesn't seem like quite as good a deal.
For ego.
Right? For ego.
Right.
But way back to you. And perhaps more in keeping with where you are in practice now, so that as you pursue, you know, I bet this is true for you, it'll be true for me. Well, I have to do yoga now simply because ego hates it. that is the reason that I have to do it, just to torture it. And through that process, perhaps be able to run, which I project you also love, in a way that happens with conscious awareness and presence rather than a trip off into ego land while your body experiences whatever.
Oh, I'm so glad. That was really helpful to have that reflected back, that piece around. And it reminds me of what was said the other day on the call around, just because you're feeling good doesn't mean you're here. So that place around,
yeah.
I feel like that's been a good chunk of, without feeling bad about any of it, that's been a good chunk of where I've been maybe. It's like things have just been, I wouldn't say easy, but going along, everything's fine. So it allows for a layer of unconsciousness that I can't even see.
Yes, yes, exactly. And, you know, that kind of thing can be an escape, in quotes, which ego really is supportive of. So anything else that's going on in our lives, if there's a way, I mean, for a lot of people, it's, you know, sitting in front of the TV with a beer and a pizza. Right? That's ego's idea of taking care of yourself, resting, rejuvenating. And, of course, what's happening is we're turning our lives over to ego full-time with no distraction. Right? None of that distraction of presence. And so one of the things that is perhaps going to be true for you is that without that particular ego escape, you're going to be more present to everything that's happening in your life.
You know, I was talking with this homeopathic doctor that I had an appointment with, and he was asking me, like, what do I do when I'm, like, what are my go-tos when I'm, you know, not doing so well? And so I listed off a couple of things, and he was like, well, that's not so bad. And I chuckled internally. I'm like, well, not compared maybe to the rest of the world, but like, they don't feel good to this person, so they feel pretty bad here, you know, even though they're not, you know.
Unconscious is unconscious, right? It really doesn't matter. Whether it's ice cream or drugs, right? If I'm unconscious and if I don't have any choice, then let's not parse those. Yeah.
Right. So I got where he was coming from, and for me, it helped me really clarify. It's like, yeah, no, but it left undone, this could be really dangerous. Like I can feel that slippery slope of like. So I'm doing less physically, but I'm not doing less physically because I'm listening to body. I was going into that place of like, well, I can't run, so therefore I don't want to do anything. And it's like, but that doesn't feel good either.
Yeah. So now you're in the place of, okay, running isn't working right now. So what else? And this is where we've been talking about listening to a subtle voice. That's going to say, well, I've always wanted to, well, I'd like to, and there might be all kinds of ideas, and then you're going to run smack into the nope of ego, because the whole point is to put you in this position of you can't run, you have no options, and let's look at depression in your future, right? Not because you can't run, but simply because you're being controlled at that level and all your options are being taken away.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
well, let us know.
So
okay?
Good to see. I will.
And I happen to know you live somewhere where you could probably throw a rock from yoga studio to yoga studio.
you are correct.
So lots of choices coming up for you. All right.
Yes, thank you,
Laura. Oh, and Laura, we're going to be on retreat together next week.
Yes,
right?
Later this week.
My God. Yeah. And with a group of people who would love to do yoga. Okay, so let's plan a little impromptu yoga class for ourselves.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Laura. See you soon.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, the thing that I was picking up in that call is really that that story there is about the Zen student or master who had trained for so long, and then he goes to see another Zen teacher and he asks him, where did you put your umbrella, on the right side or the left side of the shelf? And he can't remember, so he has to go back and retrain, right? And that's
study
really
9 more
thing.
Years.
That's right, go back to the monastery for 9 years. And that's really what we're talking about, that the way ego works, it causes us to only look at the world in one way. That's the limitation. So we can't see what we're not seeing. So if I feel good when I run, that's the only way to exercise, and every other way of using the body or training the body or taking care of the body is not the way, it's not even permissible.
I don't want to.
It's not going to feel like I'm taking care of the body, which is the experience of running. But that doesn't mean it doesn't take care of the body. It just means that I haven't experienced the receptivity to what it makes the body feel like when I do something else. And that's that reinforcing mechanism. I don't get to do anything else, so I don't get to find out, which means that I only get to do what I know to do. And then when I can't do that, then my life is over.
Yeah. And, you know, the part that you brought in, I know we're at time, but the part that you brought in with that little story is a key element, and that is humility. So that guy was a master, right? And he couldn't remember where he left his umbrella. And and he went back to the monastery to train until he had his every moment Zen. The humility in that is what we're really aspiring to.
That right. I'm never able to see.
So I can't run, lift, do a yoga, whatever it is that ego wants me to believe means my life is over. Do I have the humility to say, okay, all right, I accept that. What else is possible for me? And go back to the monastery for 9 years. And right? Metaphorically.
Yeah.
Although anybody's welcome to do that, actually.
All
right.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Well, our assignment for today, do your daily practice, cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner. Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner.
Nice. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Take care, Sherry.
All right, you too. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.